Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. It is WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcand, live here in studio. Andy Hart alongside, although not really because he's somewhere else. I don't know. Where are you, Andy? Where are you today?
I'm in my home studio.
Oh, wow. Wow, listen to that. It's a good home studio.
Not really. It's a spare bedroom / junk room / who knows what.
Do you have the spongy walls with the egg crate? You got that going on in there?
No, I'm not that professional. I got a nice microphone. I got a desk. I got a laptop that is supposed to be sending me you and you to me, but right now I don't see anything.
Oh, good. That's all right. We didn't need to see you anyway. What we did need to see last night was some football, and that was a great football game. I think we can all agree that was a tremendous start to the year. Why does my mic sound like this? Do I sound weird? Like, Andy Hart's on remote, yes. And he sounds better than me. How's that possible?
I was actually wondering the same thing.
I think so. Yeah, that's a little bit better now. Okay, good. I'm glad everything's working in here so swimmingly as we get to this Patriots Friday here on WEEI, Boston Sports Original. Let's go ahead and start right there with what you just heard that we bumped in with. The season is underway. The Baltimore Ravens coming up short against the Kansas City. My Baltimore Ravens, who I picked to win the Super Bowl, coming up short against the Kansas City Chiefs once again. Andy Hart, initial impressions from that game.
I just wish his toe was in, because that was a very, very good opening football game. And we were talking yesterday about rivalries and building rivalries. I think Lamar needed that one to help ignite the rivalry with Patrick Mahomes. And obviously he missed Zay Flowers before the likely
sure
TD,
did.
No TD. Yes, he did. I also, my bigger takeaway is we talk about Drake May and would he last behind this offensive line. I'm not sure Lamar is going to last behind that offensive line. I don't think it's very good, and I don't think the way he was running is sustainable. I know he's a runner. He took some pretty good pops last night. I'm not sure he can do that for 17 straight weeks and survive the season at his lower weight, because that was one of the big talking points, how he lost weight.
They would not stop talking about it. They made it seem like he was this big fat guy last year.
Right.
And then now all of a sudden, wow, now he's finally in shape. It's like Lamar Jackson's always been in pretty good shape, I thought. And he was always very fast. And they talked about him like he was Eddie Lacy last year and suddenly got slim.
Right.
I thought that was very interesting angle to take from the NBC crew there. But all in all, I mean, what more can you ask for? A back and forth game, some exciting touchdowns there. We'll get to Mr. Worthy and his two touchdowns for Kansas City. They certainly seem to have found something there. The game that Patrick Mahomes had, Lamar Jackson, and of course, the way that it ended with Isaiah Likely, as you just heard, landing with his toe on the line, reminiscent of Kevin Durant a couple years ago against Giannis and the Bucks. And that is the way it ended. And it seems like same old story. I think a lot of people were coming away from the game with that impression. You know, it's just at the end of these games, the Kansas City Chiefs make fewer mistakes than the other teams, and the Ravens did make some mistakes. The Chiefs did try and give that game away. Let's not make it out like they played a perfect game and their situational football was just, you know, top notch here to start the year. They made some big mistakes in that game and almost gave it away, but the Ravens just unable to capitalize on it. I do want to get to the offensive line, which you just talked about, Andy, because there was a lot of penalties. Hockley, man, he really likes being on screen. I don't know if it's because he's got big guns like his dad there. He likes to show him off and show everybody how great a shape he's in or what it is. But, man, he was throwing tons of flags there for illegal procedure, lining up off the line. All the same penalties that you saw the Patriots get flagged with in the game that he was calling in the preseason, which kind of destroys my whole idea. It was just a preseason thing, and they're going to emphasize that rule. They're emphasizing it in week one on maybe the most watched game other than the Super Bowl that you're going to have all season.
That was the most unfortunate thing last night. If you were on social media, there was just so much reaction and talk to the flags and the officials, and you have Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes. You have a marquee matchup, two Super Bowl contenders, and we're talking about the freaking officiating. And then I thought it was maddening because they were picking nits. Like,
yeah,
it was not, you know, egregious. And then there was even, I don't know what they want to clean up. And that's the other thing that bothers me, because I thought there were some of those tackle gets a jump on the snap, false starts that they just let go. And then they're going to call a guy for lining up maybe an inch behind where he's supposed to be. I'm not even sure. I think some of them were called on guys that were actually legal formations. So just stop it. Put the flags away. And taking that as my leaping off point, I hate talking about officials and all this crap. I have long been an advocate for getting rid of instant replay, or at least slow motion instant replay in mm-hmm. all of sports. Getting rid of it.
You want it to be less accurate. You want the calls to be less accurate and maybe less right.
Because I think more often than not, replay makes things worse and ruins the game, whether it's right or wrong. First of all, they still get a lot wrong with replays, as Patriots fans will point out, comparing last night's call to a call against the Eagles in the Super Bowl. But beyond that, we've gotten down to replay was originally designed to fix really egregious, horrific mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And would the world be a worse place if the refs on the field called this half an inch inbounds and they score a touchdown and then we get the chance to see whether they kick a PAT or go for two? And like, to me, this was not a horrific mistake. This was a call by an official that, yes, when you, NBC it up close with their extra camera. Yeah, okay, he's out of bounds by a toe length, but the world would keep turning, and I just think it ruins sports, all of sports. I hate the baseball.
Sounds like a man who lost a bet last night, doesn't it? Like, it wouldn't be right or anything, but the world would keep spinning, and, you know, I would have won my bet, and that would have been way better.
I think it's more fun that this game continues, and then maybe we get a still photo from the AP later, and you're like, oh, he might have been out. That, to me, is more fun than replay and taking away a play, and baseball and basketball are the worst. All these reviews. So I've long been an advocate for the removal of all instant replay, and I would say, even though they got it right, I'm not claiming they got it wrong last night. They absolutely got it right. This is one that I think would have been more fun as a neutral observer. I'm not a Chiefs fan. I'm not a Ravens fan. As a neutral observer, this is one I would have been okay if they got wrong by a toe length.
I think that, you know, it would have been more exciting to see the two-point conversion because Harbaugh was running out saying, go, we're going for two, for two. So the game would have ended right then anyway. I mean, it would have been either a win or a loss there anyway. So you really only got, you know, you really only lost like 2 seconds. But they got the call right. I mean, listen, if they screw it up, and they're not getting, you know, the guy, it's a question of whether it was a catch or not. You know, some of the more vague kind of nebulous calls that get made that are open to interpretation, fine. When it's a toe on the line, it's a toe on the line. Like, that's that to me is not open to interpretation. No matter what happened in 2017, I saw people bitching about that 2022 play with the Raiders, and it's like, oh, really? Is that what ruined that season? That one play against the Raiders, is that really it? You know, is that why that team didn't get their feet off the ground? Like, that, I think, is just sort of, you know, the crybaby crap after the fact. But in general, I think that these instant, especially on scoring plays, like, right? Every turnover, every scoring play, they automatically go back and review it. I don't think that they should stop doing that, do you?
I do. I think I would allow for full speed reviews on scoring plays. I might allow for that. No slow motion.
You can't slow it down.
NBC it, zoom in seven times. If it's that bad a mistake, you should be able to tell watching it full speed once or twice. Boom, let's move on, make a call, keep it, get away from it. Because this game was not without obvious egregious mistakes. You're not allowed to call a timeout if you're not the head coach,
right? That's right, yeah.
They let
Spagnuolo run up and do it, yeah.
Right, and he did it, and there's no repercussions. There's no way to fix that. So let's not pretend there's no mistakes in these games, in this, you know, high-importance game between contenders and Super Bowl trips could be on the line, right? This could decide the number one seed where the AFC title game is played. It could decide who goes to a Super Bowl. You win a Super Bowl. Maybe the Chiefs are worth another $500 million, and they're letting guys just smile. Did you see Spagnuolo's smile after he called it?
Yes.
They're just like, yeah, I know I'm not allowed to do that, but appreciate you giving me the, like, what are we doing here? That would be like Chris Webber when he called timeout, they just laugh it off. No, there's rules for a reason, and they can't get them right.
All right, but it sounds like you want there to be more wrong calls. Like, that's what you're advocating for. You're advocating for them for not look at it and not slow it down and
yes.
not have replays. So you want things to be worse.
And it wouldn't
than they
be
are
worse.
Right now. Yes, of course
it'd be
it would.
Better. Last night would be a better night for everybody involved if that was a touchdown.
There would be more mistakes. That would have been a mistake, would it not?
Oh, I don't know if there would be more mistakes or less mistakes. Remember when the PI call reviews came in and you're like, they can't get anything right. They don't know what they're looking for. They overlook at things. That is my problem. It ruins the energy of a football game. It ruins the excitement of a live sporting event. And you don't have to agree with me. It's not the 5 o'clock hour, but we can argue in the 2 o'clock hour.
Oh, we'll argue all through the show, I think, today. If this
perfect.
Is, well, here's the thing.
Friday's fight day here on the afternoon.
I'll go in the opposite direction. I don't think they need refs on the field anymore. Just have the eye in the sky and that's it. You don't need refs on the field. You have enough cameras all over the stadium. You have them in the pylons in the end zone. You have them all over the place. Just go to Paramus or wherever they have the guy that they call into and do the video reviews and just do it that way. Like, we don't need these refs anymore. I'm tired of Hockley. I'm tired of the entire Hockley bloodline going out there and flexing and throwing flags every 10 seconds. Like, I don't need to see or hear from those guys ever again. You can really, honestly, I'd be perfectly fine. And in baseball too, robot umps. Like, I don't need these people out there doing this anymore. It doesn't really add anything to the experience for me.
The only thing I would question there, in a way, I kind of agree with you. That extreme, my extreme is one way, your extreme is the other way. What are you doing about, like, pass interference and holding calls?
Same thing.
The lasers are calling the, how, like...
No, someone's watching it on camera somewhere else, and they take a look at it, and there it is, yeah.
You know how many weird stoppages you'd have because somebody from NFL Films buzzed in? Nope. And who's he buzzing to if there's no officials on the field? How does that work?
The eye in the sky. The eye in the sky is the final call. That's it. That's the
yeah. But how do they stop the game?
What do you mean? How do you stop the game?
How do you stop the game if somebody is watching from afar? Who's he buzzing to stop the game?
You just say penalty. There's a penalty. Gets an out. You have one guy down there who makes the announcements.
Okay, so
he doesn't actually make the call. He's just the vessel that announces the penalties, right?
He's middle management.
He's basically he's like Michael Buffer. He's like, all right, that was a. He pulls down the microphone. He goes, pass interference. Like that's basically my vision for that. I think that would work out just fine. I don't need everybody down. I don't need a back judge and a line judge and the white hat and all these guys huddling up and doing all that because they're just going to go to the eye in the sky anyway. So just make that the way it goes. And then forget about all this. I think that would make things better.
And you don't think this would bring into question some of the veracity of calls and maybe management of games and, it's funny how it's coming from league offices. There's already enough questions about, is it scripted? Do they love the Chiefs?
That's going to happen either way.
It gets worse if it's not actual human beings on the field. If it's, you have no idea who the person is. He's in a random TV studio somewhere watching a camera of the offensive line play or the secondary play, and he's buzzing down to some guy and gets to make the call. Like, he's the Wizard of Oz.
How about this? AI referees. Huh? You got the little robot there with the eyeball. They just, you know, they have the whole thing programmed in with pass interfere and all that looks like. And they just
the guy at
AI
BJ's
call.
That beeps and beep, beep,
yes.
beep, beep.
The guy at Market Basket, that robot that follows you around and gives you advice. Exactly.
No,
that's what I, that's
no,
what
they
I
make
want.
Me very uncomfortable. They make me move. There's weird, like, stare downs. They take up too much space. That would be terrible.
Those things don't, they don't bother me that much. I'll be walking down them. The grocery store. I see him. I say, hey, buddy. And, you know, I'm not
wait,
shoplifting in front of him. Yeah, sure. You know,
you say hi to a robot.
Hey, how's it going, robot?
Does he say hi back?
Sometimes. It's like, hello, Christian. Welcome to Stop and Shop, or whatever it says. Yes.
They creep me out. I don't want anything to do with them. And I don't want them on my football
You're
fields.
Just afraid of the future. You're just a typical old guy
yeah,
afraid
I've watched
of technology.
Enough movies. I know how this ends without humans.
What it sounds like to me. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got a lot to get through today. Reacting to the first game of the season, the Kansas City Chiefs, who... A lot of people said they got lucky last night. I think at this point, it's hard to call this team lucky, this Patrick Mahomes-led team lucky. They do get breaks here and there, and they did get some breaks last night. They didn't get any of those illegal formation calls, but the penalties did end up almost evening out. I think it was 7-6, and the yards were comparable, too. Chiefs got called for a ton of holds, and it seemed like, you know, despite all those early flags on Baltimore, they did end up evening out over the course of the game. I don't think that that played a huge role in anything, and I don't think that they really called it all that badly. That last play at the end, I think they got it exactly right. So, in general, I don't think that there was a huge ref discrepancy, and I don't think that you can say the Chiefs are lucky or that the Chiefs have the league in their back pocket or anything like that. Honestly, at this point, I think it's better for the NFL if the Chiefs do lose a couple of games or, you know, do get knocked out in the playoffs or something, and an actual challenger and a legit rival emerges for the Chiefs. I think that's something that the league would probably like. You know, that's better drama. That's more entertaining, I think. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. So, I don't know. I think that all in all, when you're as good as Kansas City is and you've been there as many times as they have been, yeah, sometimes there's some luck that comes into it, but you got to be good, you know, and they're as good as it gets.
And I didn't think either team, to piggyback off Isaiah Likely, did either team play what is anything close to their best game? I didn't think so. I think there's a lot of room for growth on both those teams to play better. And I think you're right. If the league were scripting or manipulating things or treating this like a boxing promoter or a wrestling promoter, I think you want the Ravens to win. The non-title fight goes to the Ravens, and then you set up a title fight in the AFC Championship game that has more intrigue because the Ravens won the regular season matchup. Oh, they're challenging the unbeatable heavyweight champ in Patrick Mahomes. So, no, I thought in some ways this game was a little sloppy. In some ways, it showed the talent on both teams. I know we're going to get into Xavier Worthy. I'm going to have to do a mea culpa on him at least after 1 week. Dude fast and dude affected the offense for the Kansas City Chiefs. There is no doubt about that. You know, I know from fantasy purposes, a lot of people were wondering where Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews were, if they were even playing in the
betting
game.
Betting purposes, I think someone was wondering about that. Someone we're talking to right now, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got one half of your parlay. I missed two. Except I missed on the updated under. So when I got the under, it was 47.5. Then it got dropped down to 46.5 when I gave the pick out yesterday. I won my bet, but anybody who listened to me yesterday ended up losing. So apologies to you, but I won, so whatever.
So who cares? That's all you should care about.
That's really all I do care about. So there you go. Yes, we'll get to all of that. We'll get to the Patriots and their matchup with the almost said the Kansas City Chiefs, with the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. We will have a scouting report of the Bengals. We'll take a look at everything they did in the offseason, their roster right now. We did not get that big Ja'Marr Chase breaking news we were expecting to get yesterday. But we do have some calls here on the line early, so let's get to them early and often here at 617-779-7937. We start with Justin, who is up in Maine. Go ahead, Justin.
Hey, how you doing? I got to say there's got to be some human element to the reffing, because what I compare it to is in European soccer, they've got an offsides robot that will detect if, like, a pinky is offside.
I've seen that. So, and then they show like that weird with the bodies going over the line. I've seen that thing before. Yeah,
right. I mean, last night it would be nice to see it on the toe on the end zone line, but in other cases, I mean, it can't be too much. I feel like they overdo it with the automatic touchdown calls and having to, like, that the refs are going to review it no matter what. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I liked that they called it a touchdown, right? I liked that the ref called it a touchdown. I mean, he was standing right there looking at it. He probably saw that the toe was very close, but he called it a touchdown so they would review it and get it right. I think that's the right way of going about it. If it was an incomplete pass, or if he had called it incomplete, I don't know. The challenge might have been might have gone differently there, but it was an automatic review, and they ended up ultimately getting it right. I mean, that's, you know, it was a heartbreaker for Baltimore, and likely certainly had some words for some fans. I don't know if you saw that clip there, Andy, but he was going down the tunnel with not quite Kyrie Irving at Thanksgiving, but it was close. And
I got no problem with that, actually.
Me neither. None whatsoever.
Like, I don't know how the general public will react to that, or, your children are watching or whatever. No, first of all, it's social media. He didn't say it in the center of the field or at a press conference. And, you know, if it's good enough for Nick Sirianni, remember when he was popping off wherever he was last year?
Yep.
I mean, these are heated battles, and careers and money and everything swings on it, and the fans bring it on themselves. I want the fans to be passionate and loud toward the players, and I have no problem if a player tells a fan to go F himself.
All right, we have another call from Kelvin. Jacob, who answered the phone, said he could not understand where Kelvin said he was from. Kelvin, where are you from?
I live in Methuen, but I'm calling because you mentioned the AI take over the referees.
Yes.
What about if AI take over the radio station and take over on you guys?
Buddy, have you not been paying attention? AI is taking over radio stations. Have you listened to a music station lately? That's 100% what's going on. Hot Take Bot is going to be taking our jobs here any minute. Don't worry about it, Calvin. If that's what you're waiting for, it's coming. All right? So enjoy this. Enjoy this human interaction while you can, because pretty soon that's all you're going to be getting. There's AI DJ. This has been going on for months, maybe even years. AI DJs all over the place, calling it. Here's the next song, and here's Nirvana with Lithium or whatever, and like that's what they do now. It's a great way to save money, I hear. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We got a lot more to get to here involving this game that you just saw, the Chiefs coming out on top over the Baltimore Ravens. Also, that offensive line, I think in some weird way, watching all those penalty flags and watching them get penalized over and over and over again in that first drive made me feel, in a weird way, a little bit better about the Patriots' offensive line. I'll explain why right after Tom Carroll.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. or if you overcame.
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Tells you what's trending.
John Harbaugh was not alone. Everybody was getting real sick and tired of these illegal fights, especially Patriots fans watching it, because we all remember how that preseason game went. That was very annoying. And it went on. I mean, it went on all throughout the game. Really, it started off in that first drive, which the Ravens scored a touchdown on the drive, so it didn't hurt them that badly. But yeah, then later on in the game, it kept happening. Before we get into the ramifications here for the Patriots, if you're watching the show on Twitch, it's been dealt with now, but there was a three cam. It was me sitting here in my chair, Andy Hart, who was, of course, back in his home studio, and Tom Carroll, who is doing trending today, who's sitting where Andy normally sits, and the Twitch chat was not ready for you. They didn't know. They're like, who is this guy? Why isn't he talking? What's he doing there? Did he win a contest and he gets to sit in on the show? What exactly is this? I'm going to read some of the funnier comments that the Twitch chat came up with, because let's be honest here. The Twitch chat is hit or miss sometimes. All hits today. So far, all hits today. Guy from the 207. That guy in the middle looks like a Maine state guide who does loon tours. someone says that guy in the middle looks very German.
Okay.
Someone said that guy in the middle looks like he's both 45 years old and 17 years old at the same time.
Wow.
Which is very accurate. I mean, that's true. Yep. You do. I don't know how you managed to pull that off, but you look both old and young at the same time.
I'll take that.
This is Tom Carroll, by the way, everybody. He's doing trending.
Hi, guys.
Today. Generally, the person doing trending sits in the back. That's where I did it for all those years, and Stiz and everybody else who does it. But it's a full house back there, so we got you in studio here with me. You can jump in, by the way, if you find any topic you want to jump in on. You absolutely can.
Yeah, I didn't want to just barge in without being introduced.
Of
right?
course, you know? And that for the listening audience, it was fine. For the people watching, they're like, what's going on with that guy? Like, who's this dude? Do you want to just introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are and
sure.
where you came from?
My name's Tom Carroll. I started with EEI in mid-July. I work for the website, and I do look 45 and 17 at the same time. I went a little bit gray, almost fully gray in my mid-20s, so that's a very accurate description. I think I'm going to steal that one.
Someone said that you are my AA sponsor. Someone said that you are from HR, in case I say something wrong. Someone said that you are an AI bot who is just doing the trending, and that's what's going on there. Anyways, Tom Carroll, everybody. He'll be here on camera, off camera. I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, Andy Hart, we're working on your replacement already, in case you haven't noticed.
That didn't take long. The afternoon show with Host 3.
Host 3, yes. Welcome, Host 3. There you go. All right, you just heard one of the offensive line penalties. There's been a lot of them. There was plenty of them all throughout the game, and it definitely reminded Patriots fans of that preseason game where they were getting whistles left and right and penalties left and right for the exact same thing, for lining up in the backfield, which they are calling very, very closely. For some reason, and I don't think this makes a ton of sense, but watching that, I thought, you know, the Ravens don't have a great offensive line. Ronnie Stanley's better than any offensive lineman you have. He's a premier left tackle in the league, I'd say. But the rest of that line, outside of the center, whose name escapes me at the moment, not really all that special. Nothing to write home about. But watching them get flagged over and over and over again made me feel a little bit better about the Patriots and their offensive line going into it, just assuming that it's not Sean Hockley, who's their white hat, who's going to be out there throwing flags every 5 seconds. But it wasn't just the flags, right, Andy? I mean, that wasn't the only problem with the offensive line.
No, that was not a good offensive line performance. I think they might have three rookies playing. It's a young offensive line. Yeah. It's a work in progress with the clearly Derrick Henry running game. He did not have the debut that I thought he might have. Lamar found a way to make plays with his legs, as he always does. But my takeaway was a little different than yours. I don't feel better about the Patriots offensive line. I still think that offensive line stinks. And my takeaway was, it's really nice when you have an athletic, creative quarterback who can make plays despite a terrible offensive line in front of him. Boy, I'd like to see Drake May get out there and have his chance to be creative with the football and step up and throw on the run and run for first downs. Like, not that he's Lamar Jackson, I'm not saying that, but he's certainly more of a runner and a more creative quarterback than Jacoby Brissett ever will be. So my takeaway, as you might not be surprised, comes back to Drake May and comes back to disappointment that Drake May, like me, will be watching the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a little split on the whole thing because it seemed like Hockey League was going way overboard in the preseason, because that's what you do in the preseason when you're implementing a new rule, right? The league does this all the time. But this was a standalone week one kickoff AFC championship game rematch with the defending champions, and he's throwing flags every other snap, which was ridiculous. But I don't know. I mean, they may not get the same amount of penalties unless Hardo Hockley's ref in the game, but there's still a very leaky offensive line here in New England. And inside, outside, they'll have Brissett running for his life, I'd imagine. And the NFL just needs to relax a little bit. Like, read the room here. You have a big audience. You don't need to be throwing that many flags ever.
You know that old theory, they can't tow every car on the street?
Right.
Hockley's like, screw you. I'm going to tow every damn car on this street. I don't care how long it takes. That was the approach he has taken. And somewhere, I think, Chuks Okorafor might be like, hey, does everybody owe me a little bit of an apology? Maybe it wasn't really my fault. Maybe this guy's an over-officious dink.
Yeah, and he certainly was. I mean, I don't think there's any, again, Ronnie Stanley's not some rookie or Vidarian Lowe or Chuks Okorafor. He's a top flight left tackle in the league.
And I still say the visual, I'm not sure those were illegal formations.
I didn't see him in the backfield at all. Like, right. The Chiefs, I remember the Chiefs last year, and there was one point, I forget which one of their linemen, he jumped backwards before the snap, didn't call it, and I'm sitting there going, you know, I feel like this whole rule was implemented because of the Chiefs, because they always take a step backwards before Mahomes snaps it. I feel like this is the whole reason they implemented this thing in the first place, and they didn't call it once on the Chiefs and threw about a million flags on the Ravens. So,
I think this is one of those things where they're trying to give a bone to the defense, because everybody always says every rule. What?
Nothing.
No, clean it up. Clean it up. It's Friday.
I know it's Friday. It's casual Friday. That's right.
Oh, so we go the other way.
Yes,
okay,
we do.
Cool. Good to know. Every rule is weighted towards the offense, right? Everything is weighted towards, you know, success for the offense, making their lives easier, which obviously if the tackle can set back deeper, changes the angles, the pass rushers, the whole thing, he should have to get up closer and deal with some of these elite pass rushers on the line of scrimmage. I got to think a memo went out today. I got to think even tonight. I don't even know if they're allowed to get memos in Brazil. I know there's some communication limitations down there.
They can't tweet. I know that. Yeah,
they can't tweet. But if they can get memos, I feel like Goodell and everybody else at the league office needs to CC these officials and say, okay, I think we made our point. Let's move on.
All right.
Let's get moving.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's go to Steve in the car, who has a thought on AI refs. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, how we doing, fellas? Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, Steve. What's up?
Perfect. So, just some food for thought when it comes to baseball, for instance. You got the obstruction, you got the interference, and you got the block call. Those are all judgment calls. And I am not convinced that artificial intelligence would be able to differentiate between what is clearly obstruction, what isn't obstruction, what is interference, what isn't interference, and definitely what the differentiation between is on a walk. And really, truth be told, isn't it more fun to have some coach yelling from the bench, that's a block, that's a block, that's a block? Who's he going to be yelling at? The robot's not going to care.
I guess that's true. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really, like, if I'm watching a baseball game and it looks like there's a balk and someone's yelling, hey, that's a balk, that doesn't really make the game experience more fun for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm not an umpire. I've never been one. I don't really know about that. I do agree there's some calls where it may be a little trickier, but listen, this isn't something that's going to happen anytime soon. I'm just saying, if it's going to be one or the other, I'd rather go the other way. Like, I don't think we need to have the human element play such a big role in it, especially when it comes to stuff like that. Balls and strikes? What do we need umpires for balls and strikes for? I mean, really, that's one that could certainly be better served by having a robot do it, I think.
Yes, and that's similar to inbounds, out of bounds, some of the things that you could do in the NFL, which are essentially lasers and lines, right? Right angles.
Mm-hmm.
That all I'm fine, actually, with becoming more automated. But there are a hell of a lot of calls in football that I don't think AI could handle legitimately at any point, maybe. Certainly not now. Plus, how often have Teslas been recalled? Oh, they got to upgrade their software. All the Teslas that need to be rebooted. Like, are we going to have recalls and reboots and software uploads during the middle of games? Oh, sorry, we got a delay so we can fix the AI. Like, I hate that idea. I hate that idea with a passion. And nobody hates human referees more than me. I hate umpires and refs and officials of all kinds. And they all suck, but I want to be able to yell at them and tell them they suck. I don't want to be yelling at a computer that I know is literally not hearing me.
Well, that's the other thing is in baseball now, you don't see the manager and the umpires arguing anymore. You never see managers get thrown out of the games anymore. What do? They just go back down and say, hey, we're going to review this. We're going to challenge it or we're not going to challenge it. They go to their video guy and
right.
and they decide if they're going to do it or not. You never see them actually arguing anymore. That's very, very rare.
Boone finds a way to get ejected every once in a while for balls and strikes or something.
That's the only thing. Yeah, that's the only way that ever happens. If it's balls and strikes, which you're just not allowed to, you're not allowed to question at all.
I do think there's a potential to blend technology and human beings and where exactly that line is. It's like all the cars now that have the crash detection and automatic braking, although mm-hmm. half of these things people turn off because they don't like them. They switch them off.
That lane correction thing, I hate that. Oh, my God. I drove my friend's car when I was in Colorado. The lane correction thing was driving me up the wall. I hated it. And I didn't know how to turn it off.
You hate that, but you're advocating for AI officials?
Yeah, because it's me driving. Like, I don't need, you know, like the refs are, I'm not a part of that. That's going on in a football game. When I'm driving my car, I want to control the car.
It jerks the wheel on you.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't need that, especially when it's like a merge and it's like, well, I'm not sure where the lane starts and stops and it's pulling you all over the place. I hate that. Oh, I think that sucks.
Driving's hard enough.
It certainly is. All right, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. The New England Patriots are the biggest underdogs on the board this weekend. We'll get into all of that with your phone calls next. It's Gerard Mayo from earlier today. By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news here for you. The Bengals injury report is out. Ja'Marr Chase, questionable. T. Higgins, doubtful. Chris Jenkins, out. And Amarius Mims, also out. Those two are rookies. Mims was the DT, I think, they drafted in the first round. Jenkins, I want to say, wide receiver, maybe? I forget what he is. But he's a rookie this year. I forget exactly what he does. Maybe an offensive lineman, whatever it is. He's out. You're not going to see him.
I think he's a D-lineman. You talking about Jenkins?
Chris Jenkins, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a D-lineman.
Okay, so Mims is the offensive lineman, right.
Yeah, that's Mims, the tackle.
The tackle, and Chris Jenkins is the defensive tackle. And they're both out. T. Higgins, doubtful, and Ja'Marr Chase is questionable. Now, I knew that Higgins was dealing with something. I assumed he'd be ready to play. And Chase, I mean, listen, he didn't practice until yesterday, or the day before, I guess. It was the first time they saw him out there. And they were wondering if he was going to just hold out and not show up. But it looks like they have him as questionable. Higgins probably not going to play. Does that change your mind on anything, Andy?
No, but I did retweet Paul Denner, I think his name is.
I barely know her.
Friday had to get that in.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lock. Hey. From The Athletic, covers the Bengals in Cincinnati, tweeted out that there's at least a chance the Bengals go out against the Patriots with starting wide receiver group of Trenton Irwin, Charlie Jones, and Andre Eusebius.
Andre Eusebius. Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, that guy.
So, I mean, and I retweeted it and said, wait, so there's a chance the Patriots actually have the better wide receivers in this game on Sunday? They won't have
like
a better quarterback.
Andre Eusebius, I'm looking at him right now. Trenton Irwin, Charlie Jones, and that's it. And Jermaine Burton is the rookie who I was thinking of. They do have a rookie wide receiver.
He's in the doghouse.
Well.
What
did he do?
Stuff on him.
What happened?
He's apparently sleeps during meetings and a lot of maturity issues coming out of Georgia. He's the Alabama-Georgia wide receiver who clearly has talent. He's kind of their Javon Baker.
I was going to say, it sounds like somebody we know.
Yep. Right there. Yep.
By the way, did you hear him yesterday, Javon Baker? He's like, I don't regret anything. It's like,
of
buddy.
Of course not.
Come on.
And
at
that's
least be
why
like, hey, sorry, guys.
Are.
Like, you know, I shouldn't have recorded that video. I wouldn't be shocked if he did that again. Next time he gets a ticket, he's going on there. Man, he's police. Like, you know, like I wouldn't be surprised at all if he did that exact same thing all over again.
And you can't blame. I know a lot of people would blame Gerard Mayo for the culture he's putting in place. I thought he articulated pretty clearly how pissed off he was with that, how much he didn't want a divide between the police and the Patriots and what their organization believes in. So if he does it again, you can't say, well, this is the culture. Gerard Mayo allows these things. No. Gerard Mayo made it quite clear he was not happy. Well, for one of the first times. I mean, he hasn't made it that clear that he was unhappy with too many things so far.
Yeah. Judon. I mean, there was that whole thing, obviously. But yeah, it hasn't been too much else. Is Baker going to make it? Is he going to be a Patriot through week 17?
Through week 17, my guess would be yes. Is it 100%? Nope. Because those types of guys, I think things can spiral out of control. And I don't want to compare him to like an Antonio Brown necessarily.
Well, how about a Jack Jones? You know, like how about someone like that?
Yeah. Jack Jones is probably a fairer one, a young player. You're not even really sure how bad each of the issues is, but then when they come in, you know, cumulative form and they're not learning and they're becoming a distraction and a fourth round pick that you say, yeah, this is why he was available there. He's got some talent, but this isn't going to work. I bet he'll be here. Because, again, to me, this is why you have somebody like Matthew Slater around. Time to earn your paycheck, Matthew. This is not just a show up and be Matthew Slater job. We got a little pet project for you. His name's Jervon Baker. Take him under your wing.
Gerard Mayo, in that clip we just played, said that success for this team is going to be improving each week. That is in playing your best football in December. That assumes, in my opinion, that they're not going to be starting off at a particularly strong place this weekend. If their idea of success is getting a little bit better each week, that implies that they're starting in at the bottom, right? I mean, isn't that what you think when you hear that?
But I mean, I think all teams would say that. You know, like the Ravens, Isaiah Likely thinks we're going to be a lot better. So if the playoffs, if that's the best, no, it's not the best they got, because you're both going to get better over the course of the season. It's why Bill Belichick's Patriots were September's an extension of the preseason, and the real games start after Thanksgiving, and all the things that they preached for two decades here. Mike, I just think they are definitely trying to lower expectations early in the year with the comments from him and Robert Kraft and about winning and winning maybe not this year, but next year kind of stuff. Although it would make sense. You had your Stratomatic yesterday that didn't both of them include wins over the Bills in different
weeks? Yes, I think the Brissett season it was week 16, and then in the May season it was week 18. But they both beat the Bills. That's right,
playing their best football against the Bills late in the year. So maybe there's something. Maybe the Stratomatic knows what Mayo's working with.
Could
here.
Could be. I mean, listen, Mac Jones beat the Bills last year, so anything's possible as far as that's concerned. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Joe is in Melrose, and he wants to talk to you, Andy. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah. First off, Christian, I agree with you about the robot umps, and AI is taking over the world. That's the way to go. But hey, Andy, I just had a question about your 0-17 take. Doesn't that mean like every coach gets fired if that happens? I mean, you're assuming the offensive line's never going to get better, and you're assuming Drake May's not going to play at all?
No, I'm not assuming any of that.
Okay. You think Drake May's going to play and they're still going to go 0-17?
I think it's quite possible for a rookie quarterback to
say it's on the table, yeah.
Yeah, every game he plays when he's surrounded by lackluster at best talent, a bad offensive line. Yeah, no, I think it's very possible they could go 0-17 and even be playing better football, as Coach Mayo says, in November and December. The problem is Belichick was a big believer in this. I guarantee you will get better because we have 90 practices between now and then. You know what the problem is? The Bills have 90 practices too. So they get to work on things. And then you bring in film and putting stuff on film and strengths and weaknesses and schemes. So, yeah, I think they very much could lose, go 0-17 with Drake May playing, not playing, Brissett playing, various guys playing and not playing. Some of it is a tough schedule. Some of it is a talentless roster or roster that isn't overly talented. And if you don't believe me, do some Googling of the various off-season lists of, you know, whether it was top 100 lists or top 10 by position. Patriots players are few and far between on most of those lists.
Yeah, they certainly are. And listen, you're right. I mean, they could, not that I think this is likely, but they could conceivably go 0-17 and still get better each week. It doesn't mean that they're going to be the exact same crappy team they were at the beginning of the year. They might end up, you know, losing in a shootout in week 17 or something, but still losing the game. That could happen. I mean, I don't think it's bloody likely, but I do think it could happen.
Bloody likely, mate.
Yeah, so that's sort of where I stand with all of that, too. The other thing he brought up, which I guess is a more germane question, is if they do go 0-17, who gets the blame for it? Who gets whose head rolls for that? Because I don't think you bring everybody back from an 0-17 team.
I think one candidate, unfortunately, would be Scott Peters, based on the offensive line potentially being the fatal flaw. And will it be fair or not fair? We'll almost have those Mac-like questions. Well, did he suck or did you give him terrible players? And there was no chance he was going to find success with some of these players, no left tackle. But he would be my first candidate. I don't rule out Alex Van Pelt. The problem with Alex Van Pelt is now you're talking about a real recipe for disaster. If you go back and look at young quarterbacks who have multiple coordinators early, And not, I'm not saying you hire Matt Patricia and have like that dramatic McDaniels to Patricia.
I hope you're not saying that.
No, but just the fact that it's a new system, a new scheme, and he doesn't even get to build off anything he did as a rookie would be problematic. So I think that might help save Van Pelt in a way. There's also the way you could also kind of thread the needle there. Van Pelt has been a longtime assistant coach. He's been a longtime offensive coordinator who didn't really have the play calling duties in the full. Could you bring someone in or even elevate a Ben McAdoo to like more of a day of game role? Could you have a senior offensive assistant who now starts calling plays and Alex Van Pelt remains the coordinator? That would be a way I think you could probably soft foot your way through some transition there.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Alex Van Pelt was not their first, second, third, fourth, all the way to their 13th choice. I mean, like he was down, way down on the list of people that they were trying to bring in here and people they were trying to talk to. It was hard enough to even get to him at this point. You know, they were going through all these other people. You fire him, you think that's going to expand the pool of candidates or make it smaller? Of course it's going to be smaller, because now not only are these people going to be looking at it going, man, this offense has nothing. There's nothing for me to work with here. It's not going to be a good stepping stone to go anywhere else. And by the way, if we don't get any better, they're going to blame me for it, and I'm going to be out of my ass next year. Like, that's not appealing to anybody. That's not what you want. So, yeah, I think you're stuck with these guys no matter what.
Plus, I was just going to add, if you're even contemplating firing Alex Van Pelt, it means Drake May didn't develop at all. And if Drake May doesn't develop, who's going to want to come here again when they don't have a quarterback? Or you're stuck with Drake May, who isn't developing for a year. There would be a weirdness, because I find it hard to believe that Drake May looks like a stud NFL quarterback that's developing before our eyes, and you would still be considering getting rid of Alex Van Pelt. It's also a bit unfair of us, although the caller brought it up, right? This wasn't us.
Sure.
No, this was the caller.
Well, he's bringing up your take, but yes.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't bring up firing Alex Van Pelt before he's even coached a single NFL football game for the New England Patriots. We are negative. Rick Pitino was right.
Yeah, he was. 617-779, he's right about everything. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Drew Bledsoe spoke with Jones and Keefe earlier today. He had some interesting insights on rookie quarterbacks playing versus not playing. We'll get to all of that with some, comparisons to the quarterbacks, the first four quarterbacks we're going to see here this year in the NFL season. Two of them we already saw. Two more we're going to see tonight. That's all coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.